Welcome to the weekly podcast of Soul Purpose Evangelical Church, located in the city of Middletown, New York. Today's message will be brought to you by our senior pastor, Reverend Albert Feliciano Sr. Each week, we stream our live recorded services to encourage, build up, and edify our listening audience. Our aim is to share with you the uncompromised and infallible word of the living God. Our prayer is that today's message will draw you closer in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And now, here is Pastor Albert with today's word.
Saints of the Most High, the title of this message is going to be The Christian Home. We're going to be reading in two different chapters this morning. We're going to go to Ephesians 5, 22 through 31, and then we're going to flip the page and go to Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. I'll give you a moment to find that. All right. This one's going to be a friendly day today, but we're going to start with a bang. So buckle up. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 22. And the word of the Lord says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body and his flesh and his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Glory to God. Let's turn now to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Glory to God. You may take your seats this morning, saints of God, in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. The home, our home, is one of the most important parts, one of the most important places in the life of every believer. Did you know that your home is your very first mission field? If we can't get that right, we can't get anything right. It is the first place ordained by God. A nation is made up of many homes. The spiritual climate in the church is determined by the homes in its church. How is your own Christian home today when you hear those words? Plato, the great philosopher, he was right when he said, and I quote, "The saga of a nation is the saga of his families written large." Think about that. When our nation's houses are in order, our nation is in order. When the houses, the homes are out of order, the nation also becomes out of order. The sad reality is that there are so many troubled homes in our nation today. This is primarily why we have so many problems in our nation, in our society. Troubled homes are a greater threat than communism. Think about that. Many homes require both parents to work in order to support the home. And that presents another problem, because that now produces turnkey kids without a parent in the home to monitor their homework, to monitor their actions, or to even teach them or guide them and instruct them in their daily life. Oftentimes, they have to turn to the TV or YouTube in order to find out how to do certain things for themselves. And we know what that's like. Media companies themselves are constantly pushing the envelope. All they care about is their own agenda and pushing everything. For example, Walt Disney. Yeah, I'm going there. Hallelujah. Stop manifesting. Praise God. But recently, there was a movie that I saw years ago, back I think it was the 90s, and it was called Willow. You ever seen that movie, Willow? I used to love that movie. It's an adventure fantasy film, monsters and all this other stuff. But I watched this film, and then Disney starts putting out an advertisement that they're going to now make a series of the movie Willow. And I said, wow, this is going to be interesting. My wife and I watched the first 10 minutes. And in the first 10 minutes of the movie, there is a young teenage girl who's a petulant, arrogant, you know, rebellious, totally nasty girl. My mom would have let that hand fly. Whoops. You know, sassy, talking back, completely wild. And then next thing you know, she's here kissing another girl on Disney, the new thing. Within 10 minutes, they've already pushed their agenda onto the audience. Disney is also guilty for a show called The Owl House. I believe that's a Dominican girl who has a supernatural power to enter into the demonic realm. So she's able to go. She has friends with witches and monsters and goblins. And every time she needs to escape, she goes into this alter universe. There's another show on Disney called Little Demon. This is another little girl who happens to be the daughter of the Antichrist. In other words, the biblical Antichrist that we read about, we preach about, and we try to warn people against, now apparently Disney made it a cutesy little children's series, a cartoon, and it's called Little Demon. So apparently the Antichrist got a girl pregnant, and the product of that union, instead of being a boy, was a girl, and she realizes that she's the devil's daughter. And that's the premise of the show. There's another movie called Black Adam. I don't know if Disney was involved, but I think this is DC Universe or whatever, which anyone knows that they're pushing the envelope all the time too. But here, this is an anti-hero fighting another evil. So evil versus evil. It's not even good versus evil. Now it's evil versus more evil. There's a king that has a pentagram, a star, on his chest representing the satanic symbol. And the whole premise of this movie is, who's the evil one? A Black Adam now has to defend the world against a worse evil. And he wants to be evil, but in order to save the world, he has to use his evil to do good. Do you understand the logic, how crazy that is? And you have these big fighting scenes, the two devils fighting each other to be the head devil. I don't know if I'm missing anyone with that. But the reason why I'm telling you, this is just a week or two. This is just in our current culture. Listen, I could go on and on and on with the pedophilia stuff and the little signs and the pizza and all. People say, oh, you're a conspiracy. No, I'm not. It's everywhere. Their characters are showing it. There are cartoons everywhere you go. Remember, I said from this very altar, Peppa Pig now has a lesbian couple next door. And a little girl with two mommies. Peppa Pig. My granddaughter loves Peppa Pig. And now they're seeing it. There was a Jurassic World on Netflix. And again, two teenage girls that had the hots for each other the whole show, they finally decide, I'm going to come out of the closet right here in Jurassic Park. And the music. And now all their friends on this adventure are not going, wait. Wait, we're about to experience something that's the most beautiful thing that I've ever seen. And next thing you know, these two girls are kissing each other in such a disgusting display right on the show. And all their friends are like, we knew it. We knew it all along. We were so happy. We knew it. We couldn't wait for you guys to just come out of the closet. What are our kids thinking? When they're trying to normalize this stuff. Parents, wake up. That's just one thing. You've got video games now that, you know, the Mortal Kombat, finish him. And that's the killer blow. You got to cut off his head or chop off an arm or cut him from the torso, split him in half. The more violent, the better points you get. There are guns in all these games, right? You have Grand Theft Auto games. You got to beat up the police and take the police car and go and run people over. And the more people you hurt, the more points you get. This is where we're headed. And parents, if your kids are playing this stuff, it's really your fault. It's not their fault. Especially when you hear them yelling on their headset with the F-bombs and their friends and everything on the TV, and you're just saying, it's okay, no problem. Parents, they're after your children. Wednesday night, we're doing a study on kingdom living for the family. If you haven't been a part of it, you need to be a part of it. You should go back and get the book and go online and get the videos. But we spoke about this on Wednesday night. There are parents that are on public assistance. And isn't it funny that if the husband is out of the home, you qualify for food stamps and all kinds of cash benefits and meals and travel to your appointments, everything. They'll give you an ambulance so long as the man is out of the house. Isn't that a demonic, sinister deed, a plan of hell? And then we wonder why there's an absentee father crisis in our nation. How many 70% of minority children grow up without a father? And then we wonder why there's an epidemic in our nation. It's because it takes two in the home to raise a godly family. And I bless the Lord for those grandmothers and aunts, single moms. I celebrate you. I'm a product of a single mom. My dad was kicked out when I was 5 years old. And I just blessed the Lord. I had a woman of God as a mother. She was a pillar in the church. And she did the best she could. But I remember when I was a petulant, arrogant, rebellious child. And the belts weren't working anymore. So then she would take the mop stick. And I would catch it and break it over my six-pack. And then give it back. See, I have a keg now. But it's still there. The six-pack, right, Brother Manny? The six-pack is hidden under all this love. It's hidden. This is the oven. But the six-pack is still there. But I would take it, I'd catch it and break it and give it back to her. Because I was arrogant. Then she would turn into Bruce Lee. What? And I'm Wing Chun-ing her. Saints of God, we have to get our homes back in order. There's so much attack on the family. But I want to tell you something today. There's also a thrilling contrast to consider, especially for those who are in Jesus Christ. Because a Christian home, the place that we should call home, the place that the Spirit of God should reside in, or at least should be there, praise God, there is dedication instead of divorce. There is faith instead of fighting. There is love instead of lies. There is truth instead of tales. There is harmony instead of hatred. There is safety instead of stress. There is protection instead of peril. There is prayer instead of panic. There is worship instead of worry. And there is a Bible instead of a battle. Praise God. That's what the Christian home should look like. Today, saints of God, I'm going to talk a little bit more about what a Christian home should be. Number one, a Christian home should be a place where the Lord Jesus Christ is free to reign in your house. Question, is Jesus Christ reigning in your home? I'm not talking about if there's a picture of Jesus in the living room. And here, some of us have this picture. This demonic Jesus. As above, so below. Do you know that Baphomet? Baphomet, which is a symbol of Satanism, he has his fingers like this on the statue. And a lot of times, a Catholic church, they have Jesus with the as above, so below, and the Sacred Heart with the crown of thorns around it. I'd get rid of that if I was you. Praise God. But I'm not talking about a picture of Jesus in your living room. Or how about this? In many people's homes, there's an open Bible. A big one like this. The King James tablet one. The big one. With big print. And it sits on the mantle. Typically open to Psalm 23. And when you walk up to the Bible, say, oh, wow, what a nice Bible. You look at it and your hands are all filled with dust. And you go, is Jesus the Lord of your home? There's a great need of knowing Jesus Christ in your home and having your family know and have a relationship with Christ. Let me tell you, you cannot have a Christian home without Christ. It is absolutely impossible. You could have a religious home where there are religious relics all over the house, but you're not going to have Jesus there. It takes relationship. Religion devoid of relationship is like a baby working hard to suck on the pacifier, but never getting no nutrition out of the pacifier. Religion devoid of relationship is like drinking salt water. The more you drink, the thirstier you become. And if you keep drinking it, you're going to certainly die. Many may have a well-ordered, well-kept home, but no Jesus. My mom, when we were kids, she used to keep the plastic on our sofa. Come on. Am I the only family? Praise God. I know some homes where the brand new sofa, you can't even sit on it. It's just for the guest. There are some homes, straight up, brand new furniture. And you know why it looks so pristine? And because no behinds are on it. It's just for show. This is for the guest. You sit on that plastic fold-up chair. That's your chair. Okay, Mom. But my mom used to keep the plastic on the sofas to make them last longer. Listen, with all the neatness and tidiness of your home, the fact is you could have a very clean, neat, and perfect-looking home and still have no Jesus. What a difference Jesus makes in the house of every believer. Jesus Christ is not a formula, but a real friend. He's a spiritual partner in your home. He is evidenced by the fullness of the Holy Spirit. In many homes, Christ is the unseen head of the Christian home, but a very felt presence indeed. Let me just break it down. We read it earlier. The family of God. God, of course, is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of the husband. The husband is the head of the wife. Stop tripping. You know why? Because the woman came out from the man, not the man came out of the woman. The husband was made first and the woman came out. That is why the husband is the head of the wife and the wife is submitted under the headship of her husband, and both the husband and the parents are the head of the children. Everybody has a symbol of authority above them. Amen. Whether you are a parent, you are the king, the lord, the king, the queen in the house, but you may have a place of employment where you are underneath somebody. There's always somebody above you. We are always under authority. So it shouldn't be so difficult to understand what it means to be under the headship or lordship of God. That breakdown is literally called the divine order or spiritual alignment. That means kingdom living. We've been talking about this for about what, 11 or 12 weeks now in the Kingdom Family Study. When your house is in order, everything else is in order. There is peace. There is harmony. There is sanctuary. There is structure. There is favor. The presence of God is available. A family that is in spiritual alignment has the favor of God upon them. And guess what? The fear of God is their foundation. And when I talk about the word fear, people start misunderstanding what that means. But it basically is a deep reverence, a respect, an honor of God and His word. Let me give you an example. Ray Comfort, he's a very well-known evangelist. When he goes into the street and he uses the Ten Commandments to try to teach those that are proud and arrogant, right? Law for the proud, grace to the humble. For those that said, oh yeah, I've read the Bible three times, front and cover. I've read it three times. Really? And you still can't find Jesus in there? But to those people, when he goes through the commandments and he starts breaking them down, have you ever told a lie? Have you ever did this? Have you ever did that? He begins to confront them on the truth. And, you know, when people have no fear of God, they begin to blaspheme God. When he says, have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain? And they say, oh, yeah, I do it all the time. Some of them will do it right in his face. And the reason is they have no fear of God. They have lost the respect of what it means to fear God. And so he says, do you know that that's a very serious sin? That's a very a demonic thing that's going on. He says, let me ask you a question. Would you ever take your mother's name and use it as a curse word? They say, absolutely not. No, why not? Why would you think of using your mother if you're hitting with a hammer and you accidentally hit your thumb? Why don't you ever use your mother's name as a curse word? Why is it always Jesus or God? Why do you resort first thing to God and you blaspheme God? They say, oh, because I respect my mother. You see, that's what the fear is. The way you would never curse your mother's name, the one that you love and you respect, you have fear and reverence for them, and you respect their authority over you, and you love them, so you would never use their name as a curse word. That is the same reverence that we should have for God. In fact, even greater reverence. We should love God above all others, including our mom and dad and everybody else. Our love for God should be so strong that everyone else pales in comparison. This is why it's important to fear God, because if you fear God, you will abide by His divine order. And this is important because 1 Corinthians verse 11:10, it says, for this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Now, I'm not going to go into a big theological thing here, but it's very important. It's a strange place for the Bible to say because of the angels. It's quite simple. Angels only can minister or be effective when there is divine order or spiritual alignment. Any household that is outside of spiritual alignment, now the angels of God cannot function in their position because of a out of alignment family. Angels only serve and operate when there is divine order. Praise God. So I hope that sinks in right now. When a family is in divine order, all the blessings and favor of God are available. When they're not, they are not available. Now, let me just say this. Obedience. This word is scary for some, but the reality is that obedience is the greatest evidence of the fear of God. If you obey God and you fear God, then you'll know that you're not going to do the certain things that would cause you to stumble or sin or offend God. Proverbs 1, 7. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Exodus 20:20, "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear,'" in other words, "do not be afraid, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin." People, if you do not have the fear of God, there's nothing withholding you from sinning before God. Don't even think about having a Christian home if there is no fear of God or no obedience to his word. Let me give you some scriptures to ponder. Psalm 33:18, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy." Did you know that there is mercy for you today? You have not gone so far that you would miss out on the mercy of God. Trust me, there is mercy for you today. We sang this song in Psalm 34. "The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him." There we go again, angels. "The angels of the Lord are waiting to see those who fear him so that he may deliver them." How sweet it is to be delivered by the hand of God, especially in the darkest time of trouble. The song that we sang earlier, "I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all fear. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his troubles." How many have been saved by trouble? How many have been delivered from sickness? How many have had provision in their time of need? It's awesome to be a servant of the Most High God. So many people have no clue of what I'm talking about. They have no clue of what it's like when you need $57.87 just to be broke because your bank is in the red. You need to bring it up just to be in the black again. I remember a time when my wife and I, we went, it was a summer day, our air conditioning were broken, the kids are running around driving us nuts. We only had $7. And that was this true story, $7. And my wife said, "We need to hold it. What if we need milk? We need," I said, "We're going swimming. I'm not going to be in this hot house with these crazy kids. We're going swimming. We're going to go to Depew Park. It's only 50 cents to get in per person. We've got enough money to get in. And we could just drink water all afternoon." Yeah, we were that broke. And it's funny because as I'm putting on my shades, feeling ashamed because we have no money, and I'm swimming, right? I see something in the pool like this. I said, "Is that a leaf down there? This is very strange. What could it ever be?" I go bloop, 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 bloop. I go down to the 12 feet. I pick it up, and it's a wad of $20 bills. And right away, whoosh, put it right in my shorts. I go back down, and I'm scouring the whole pool. And one after another, I'm picking up tens, I'm picking up fives, I'm picking up ones, I'm picking up everything. And it's just everywhere. It's everywhere. And then I call my oldest son, Josh. I said, Josh. I said, "Look." He goes, "Hey, look at this." I said, "Shh. Dude, chill." And I pulled out some money, and I put it back real quick. He goes, "Where did you find that?" I said, "Son, go grab the goggles. We're going to scour the whole pool." He didn't find anything. I think I found a couple more bills throughout the whole pool. But then here's the thing, because I want you to know this is how you have to do things. Amen. I went to the lifeguards. I said, "Hey, has anyone reported anything missing? Is there anything reported to anyone in the pool about anything missing?" They go, "Oh, did you find something?" I said, "Yeah." Well, what did you find?" I said, "I'm not telling you." If someone comes to you and asks you, "Hey, did you find this or that?" you come see me. And they better have an accurate description. And we were the last ones out. We were starving. But we were the last one out. The pool closed at dusk. It was almost 7 o'clock. And we were the last ones out. And I went back to the lifeguards. I said, did anyone report anything missing? No, they did not. So my wife and I left with about $284 that day. I went home. We had shrimp. We had lobster. I brought Frosted Flakes, Cheerios. I brought everything. Yeah. We didn't get the No Frill brand. We got Frosted Flakes with Tony the Tiger. Praise God. I can tell you story after story after story of the faithfulness of God. Some are funny, some are sad, some will make you laugh, some will make you cry. I'm a living testimony, an example of the favor of God. When your house is in order, you can pray. And you don't have to do no long-winded Sermon on the Mount prayer. This could be short as, God, I need a miracle right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Boom. Bing. And it happens. But if you don't have fear of God, if you don't have divine order in your life, if you don't have respect for God's word, those things never happen in your life. Because God is waiting for you to get back into the place of order and divine authority and spiritual alignment in the things of God. Psalm 34, verse 11, it says, come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Parents, teach your kids the fear of the Lord. Real men fear God. Romans 6:16, do you not know that whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. Let me tell you something, saints of the Most High. Me and my household, we serve the Lord and we fear God. I am a slave, hallelujah, a bond servant of Jesus Christ. I am an ambassador in chains. I am captive to Christ, and I ain't afraid to say it. He owns me. I am his, and he is mine. My family is his, and he belongs to us. My house belongs to him. Praise God, every aspect of my life belongs to the Lord. I want to tell you something for those of you that might say, man, that sounds a little harsh, but I'm going to tell you, saints of God, even if you have failed, even if your kids are running wild right now, even if you have made some mistakes in managing your own home or your family, there is hope for you today. Everything can change. Today, your house can return back to order. It should only require you to surrender yourself to the Lordship of Christ and return to the place of favor. And when you do, not only will you be restored, but your whole house will be restored, and you will all reap the benefits of what it is to be in divine order. The Bible says, and we read it earlier, even in Psalm 128, those that obey God shall be blessed in everything. When you are blessed by God, guess what? There's multiplication. That means multiplication in your finances, multiplication in your provision, multiplication with your kids, multiplication in everything. Acts 9:31, it says, then the churches throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Glory to God. If you want more, then get back into the place of obedience before the Lord. Number two, a Christian home is a place where love should reign. Love covers multitude of sin. The very first fruit of the Spirit is love. Love is the evidence of a true disciple and of a true follower of Jesus Christ. I've said this 100 times. I'm going to say it again today. It is impossible to be a Christian and not have love. I'll say it one more time. It is impossible to be a Christian without love. There are many that supposedly try to walk in love, but it's all lip service. They want to be seen as loving, as effective in ministry. They want others to think that they are altogether loving, but the reality is they won't lift a finger to help anybody. It's all about self. Saints of God, we've got to be able to love one another and love those that God died for and rose again for. That means you don't get to choose who gets saved. Oh, I don't like this person because they did this, that to me. I ain't going to pray for them no more. I'm done with them. That ain't your responsibility. Our responsibility is to love on them regardless. The same way God saved you, the same way God forgave you, God is able to do that with others. Walk in love and be set free in your heart. Praise God. Love is an action word. Love should be in the Christian home. It's the kind of love that is a wonderful two-way love arrangement. Here we go. Love is where the wife is able to be submissive to her own husband first, as unto the Lord. That's the key word here, as unto the Lord. We've spoken about this in class, praise God, so the women are not angry or upset, because that's like a curse word to some women. Shoot, I ain't submitting to no. Ain't nobody gonna tell me what to. Ain't nobody. You better recognize. Yeah. Get past that foolishness. Praise God. The most blessed, sacred thing for a woman is to be under the covering of a loving husband, God-fearing husband that will protect, guide, and govern and provide for his family. Praise God. It's a wonderful place to be. God did not create women to have to pay the bills, go out and work, get the bacon, and then come home and cook the bacon too. Can I keep it real? Praise God. I'm on the altar. Pray. I can't lie up here. Get a job. Hallelujah. Men of God, get a job. Provide for your household. The Bible says a man that does not provide for his household is worse than an unbeliever and has denied the faith. Ow. You know what it says also? The man that doesn't work shouldn't eat. Why? Because God said he will bless the labor of your hands. But God ain't gonna bless this. Pew, 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 pew. Wait, mommy, I'm getting the high score. Pew, 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 pew. That's why I love it when I go on social media and I see a father say, son, I told you 3 times to turn that box off, but I'm waiting. I can't stop now. Wham, bam, bam. I mean, maybe that's a little extreme, praise God. I didn't say I was for it, but I said I like to see it. Put a sledgehammer through that box, man. If it takes your kid away from everybody, you know this bothers me too. This. It's like, where have we gone? We're like hypnotized. We don't even speak anymore. I've gone to restaurants and the whole family is on a... what's the point? Right? If you're at the dinner table, put the phone away. Praise God. Can I get romantic here with my wife? She's not here. We're good. Pastor Daisy's tuning in, but she can't mess with me from cyberspace. Praise God. One of the things that I love about my wife was her voice. And when she spoke to me, to hear the inflections, the tone of her voice, it made my heart pitter-patter. Where has the time gone where this is how we call a lady out for a date? Yo, what you doing tonight? Are you free? What you want to do? You want to go somewhere? Yeah, sure, I'd love to. Where you want to go? May I decide? Like, man, you know, get it together. Praise God. You're inviting a woman out. You make the arrangements. Praise God. A woman wants a man to know what he wants. Praise God. Hey, baby, I want to take you to McDonald's. I'm just kidding. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah, I just got all the ladies say, Pastor, you lost me there, brother. I could go there myself. I don't need no man to take me to McDonald's, get no chicken nuggets. What's up with that? But the best thing is to hear somebody's voice. It's even better when you're sitting at a table and you're listening, and she's doing her little eyelashes and her little lips, and, oh, I'm not hungry. I'll just pick. Not her. Praise God. Our first date, she said, I'm going to order a pork chop. Hallelujah. I said, she's the one. I'm going to marry this chick right here. Woo. Praise God. That was our first date. I was like, I hope she don't order a salad because I'm not going to try to eat no salad. She goes, listen, I'm sorry. I've been working all day. I'm going to tell you, I'm hungry. I came to eat. I said, bring it, girl. You're talking my language, kid. And we ate good that night, praise God. Husbands, love your wives. Do not be embittered toward them. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. Do you know what Christ did? He died for the church. He died and he rose again. It's a sacrificial type of love. And that is the love that God calls every man here to love his wife. This is God's plan for you and for your household. The creator, the author of life, the designer of the family, of the Christian home, he made the plan. And he is the manufacturer. He knows best how to handle that plan. Because of this holy plan, the results will always be the favor, the protection, the love, the sanctuary, and all those other things that come from God. More importantly, your children will be in alignment as well. And there will be children who know how to respect and obey their parents. Why? Because they would have been taught the fear of God at a young age. Some Christian homes are the very opposite of what I've just described. Some homes may seem more like an endurance competition, a place where everyone has to learn how to put up with one another as best as you can, to tolerate one another for as long as you can. And many homes hear this very familiar and popular phrase, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody gonna be happy. I bind that mama in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I bind that Jezebel spirit right out of the house. That is straight up foolishness. If mama ain't happy. Mama better get it together. Praise God. Get into the word. It's probably because she don't have the joy of the Lord as her strength. You see, the home does not exist to make you happy. Turn to your neighbor and say, he must be talking about you. Praise God. He ain't talking about me. Praise God. The home is a place where the sanctuary, the peace, the presence of God should flow. It's a place that the peace that surpasses all understanding, where others can't understand how you could be so calm in a time like this. It's a place where everyone goes to lay their head to rest. It should be a wonderful place, not where there's turmoil and all this drama. Drama llama ding dong. I can't take it. There was a wise man, a friend of mine, who taught me this beautiful and powerful phrase. He says, my peace is non-negotiable. I love that. That's my new phrase. Hallelujah. If someone is going to try to steal my peace, I'll say, hold up. Wait 1 second. My peace is non-negotiable. When everyone is walking in Christ, living for Christ, walking in love, in the fruit of the Spirit, mom and dad and kids, the dog, the cat, the fish, the birds, everyone in the house is going to have the joy of the Lord. That is the byproduct of the Holy Spirit in the home of a Christian household. Our joy is fulfilled in the love of God through his helper, the precious Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5, it says, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." So if your home happens to appear to be broken right now, there is hope for you, but you need Christ. You need his Holy Spirit. I could point around this room right now and I can tell you of the very people that are sitting in this room. If you would have looked at them 2 or 3 years ago, they were in a totally different place. But right now, because of the Spirit of God, the love of Jesus Christ, their surrender, submission to the Lordship of God, they are here now. Their children are here. Their family is here. The house is growing. The cousins are coming. Junebug, Papo, they're all getting saved, and Tito and Paco, they're all getting saved. Why? Because something has happened in this household. And what it is, I need it. I want it. Tell me, how can I be like that? How can I receive that in my life? It's the transcendent glory of God. There's nothing like it. God's love for us should be an example to demonstrate his plan for our home, a place where love should reign, that kind of love that is deep in the heart, the love that keeps on giving, the type of love that is sacrificial, the love that is often expressed. Praise God. Many of you may know this, but 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is known as the love chapter. This is God's definition of what love is, the real definition according to God's word. Listen, one of the greatest things you can do is express yourself, your true heart to one another. You know, when someone does something nice or special for you, what's so hard about saying, you know what? I really appreciate that. That meant so much to me. Thank you. I love you. Don't be so foolish. No, receive it in the spirit in which it was submitted to you. There would be so much that could be beneficial to everybody if we just expressed the love that we have for one another. And sometimes it doesn't even require somebody doing anything. When was the last time you went up to dad and said, "Yo, dad, I want you to know, man, I love you. Thank you for paying that rent." Man, is that's the lamest amen ever. Hallelujah. Men of God, we sacrifice, right? We take care of the bills. We make sure there's a bed for our kids to sleep on, clothes on their back, blankets. We give them everything they need. And oftentimes, it's forgotten the sacrifice that the men of God, we go out there, we're shoveling the driveway so our beautiful wife won't slip on the snow. We are mowing the lawn. We're doing all kinds of stuff, taking care of business, making sure the food is full. Children, teenagers, how nice it is that when you're thirsty, you could open up the fridge and say, no, I don't want Sprite. That has too much sugar. I don't want milk because I only have that for my cereal. Orange juice, no, who drinks that? You know, you have your choices of everything in there. And you could just grab it and go and not even deposit a quarter in the machine. Somebody provided that for you. God provided it for us. We provide it for you, and you enjoy it. Praise God. There's time that we have to start acknowledging the blessing and be grateful to our parents. When love is neglected or withheld, when it has to be earned, then it really isn't love. And this is sad, but please listen, because a lot of households are like this. They give love only when it's earned. Well, I'll love you if you bring that A home, the A's on your report card. If not, don't even look at my face. If your room isn't clean, don't even talk to me. Speak to the hand. You know, where love has to be earned. Those in that type of household grow up feeling rejected, abandoned, bitter, low self-esteem, loneliness, insecurity, dysfunction, and sometimes it creates learning disabilities, and most importantly, zero fear of God. And by all, that's not an exhaustive list. Those in the home have actually taken and eaten the bait of Satan. You know what the bait of Satan is? Offense. This home will often implode upon itself. As soon as the kid gets old enough, and then they got some muscles, and they think, ain't nobody gonna tell me what to do. I'm a man. I'm a man. Yeah, you're a man? Go out and get a job and get an apartment and pay for your own bills. Then I'll respect you as a man. I mean, we've heard this stuff. But oftentimes the home implodes upon itself. The son fighting the dad, the mother fighting the daughter. And that's it. You're out. I disown you. Then the kid goes out into the street and finds gangs and becomes a family with a gang. Or will find affirmation in somebody else. Oftentimes a daughter, if she's not getting love at home, she's going to go out there and sweet Willie Johnson, Bucktooth Willie. He's got game. He knows how to listen. Bucktooth Willie. Pimple face Bucktooth Willie. He ain't even handsome. But he listens. Oh, I would never do that to you. You're so beautiful. I can't believe they treat you like that. Oh, my God. You know, if I had somebody like you in my life, oh, my God, you'd be my queen. I would worship the ground you walk on. Are you hungry, boo? Let's go eat. It's 2-for-1 special at Wendy's. Let's go eat. Oh, he cares for me. Y'all just don't understand him. You don't understand. Next thing you know, she's pregnant. And where's Willie Johnson? That ain't my baby. That could be the mailman's baby. That could be the Good Humor ice cream guy. I see you got to get that ice cream all the time. It could be his baby. Oh, am I telling the truth here? Praise God. If you don't love on your children, if you don't affirm them, if you don't provide for them, if you don't embrace them and tell them how much they mean to you, how special they are, and that they don't have to do anything to win your favor, your approval, then the world will have a plan for them. Let me just say this. I said it before, I'll say it again. The father's affirmation is so important. Long gone has the time been where men have not released the father's blessing upon their children. Men of God, where are you? 1, 2, 3. Yes. All right, listen up. This is important. It's your responsibility as a man of God to release the favor and the blessing upon your sons and your daughters. In Luke chapter 3, when Jesus was at the Jordan River and he went up to John the Baptist to be baptized, John the Baptist looked at him. He says, why are you coming to me? I should be being baptized by you. And Jesus said, no, let it be done so we fulfill all righteousness. And then John the Baptist baptized Jesus. And when Jesus came up from the water, the heavens opened up and the word of the Lord came forth. And many that were there heard it. It said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove and descended upon Jesus. So here you have the Holy Trinity. Don't tell me the word Trinity ain't in the Bible. There's God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus in the same verse. And this is the affirmation of a father, because when this took place, Jesus now went into the wilderness to defeat the devil and overcome what was lost by the Hebrews. Amen? But here's the important thing. Jesus did not do a single miracle when he was affirmed by his father. We, in our nation, in our country, we are taught that unless the kid wins the winning touchdown or gets the gold medal at the race, or unless they come with straight A student report card, they will never get your approval. And now the kid is trying all their life to measure up to your standard, and then they find it a struggle. Let me ask you a question, parents. It's good to push your kids to excellence, right? Good is always the enemy of best. I'm a firm believer in that. I'm cool with that. But here's a problem. Did you get straight A's as a student? Did you get the gold medal? Did you score the winning touchdown? So why are you holding our kids? Why are we holding our kids to a standard that we ourselves couldn't even accomplish? You're putting unnecessary pressure. Instead, say, son, daughter, I want you to know that I love you. I'm so proud of you. You don't have to do anything to win my favor. You already have it. I want you to know that you are blessed, and I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to anoint you with oil, and I'm going to release a blessing. I release my Father's blessing upon your life. From this day forward, you are affirmed. I affirm you. You are precious in my sight. I have found favor in you. You don't have to do anything to win my heart. You already have it. You are an excellent daughter. You are an excellent son. You are a God-fearing, a powerful man or woman of God. You are a chosen nation, a royal priesthood. And you begin to pray the blessing of God. I release my authority. I release my Father's blessing upon your life. And now when sweet Willie Johnson comes out and says, baby, 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 say, man, you don't even know the Ten Commandments. Get out of my face. You got no chance. You don't have a relationship with the Father. I will not be unequally yoked with you. Deuces. Peace out. Keep it moving. I'm looking for a hero, not a zero. That's lame, right? Praise God. All right. Hallelujah. Moving along. Last point. A Christian home is a place where God's holy word reigns. The Bible is God's way. The word of God is God's way of cleansing the house. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. It says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. You cannot have a clean Christian home without the word of God. Remember earlier we read from Ephesians. I'm going to read this portion again. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her, what? With the washing of water by the word. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Husbands, if Christ loved the church and gave himself for her to sanctify her and cleanse her with his word, then we too ought to follow his example. Love your wives sacrificially. Cleanse her. Sanctify her with the washing of water by the word. That means read the word to your wife and to your family and to your children. And here, I gotta say this, praise God, I have to. Don't speak negative to each other or against each other. Stop doing it. Stop backbiting against each other. Looking at your husband and saying, but going to the, he ain't no good. He don't know how to do this. He don't know how, he can't do nothing. My husband, get on my last nerve. Did you know that you're speaking against yourself? When you speak against one another, you're actually speaking against yourself. Here goes Genesis 2:24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. We talk about this all the time. Whatever you appreciate will increase in value. Whatever you depreciate will decrease in value. Remember Psalm 22:3, I believe. It says, God inhabits the praises of his people. So if you want God to come in and be enthroned on your marriage, on your relationship, then start praising one another and stop talking smack against each other, especially behind each other's back. Let me tell you a little story. There's a husband and wife driving together down this highway. They noticed a mule on the road. The husband looks at his wife and says, "Hey, honey, there goes one of your people, one of your family members." And the wife replied, "Yup, I know, you're right. That one came to me through marriage." I sense a little hostility up in here. When you speak against each other, you're only speaking against yourself. Attendance at church services. This should be a family affair. No one left behind. Listen, it's very important you don't miss this. If church attendance is important to mom and dad throughout a child's life, then it's also going to be important to your child, even when they become an adult. It doesn't matter the age of a child. If they're in your house, everybody goes to church. If you're in my house, I don't care if you're 80 years old. Get your cane and your crutches and your bifocals and get your behind in the car because we're going to church. If you're in my house eating my food, warming up on my electric and my heat and all that, you, my dear friend, are coming to church. My kids knew that. And guess what? If you have your little BFF forever sleeping over for the weekend, guess what? They are getting their butts up and they're going to church, or they ain't sleeping over in my house. And we tell them right on Friday night, we need to talk with their parents because we go to church on Sunday. If you have a problem with that, then little Joseph can't come to the house. Little Johnny, stay home. But if Johnny's coming to my house, he's going to be coming to church. And after we feed him, after church, then we'll bring him and his bag back to you. Amen. You got any problem with that? No, no. Cool. Let little Johnny come by. You see, you have to have a standard in the Christian home. If there's no standard, if there's no demands or there's no rules or boundaries, then what do you have? When we go to church and we teach our children, we go to church. Listen, you don't come to church to be saved. You should be saved already. But you come to church to fellowship, to be in the presence of God, to stand in the gap together, to share each other's burden, to have corporate worship, to hear, to grow, to mature together as a family. What better place is it to be on a Sunday? There's nowhere else I'd rather be. And this is such a diverse community. I love seeing all the colors in the room. I wish one of us was polka dot and striped. Honestly, we'd really have it down. More importantly, I wish we had some more Jewish folks in the house. Because the church is incomplete without our Jewish brothers and sisters. It's so important. We're a family. Just like we spoke today in this baby dedication ceremony. There are some parents that think to themselves, well, I'll let little Johnny decide when he gets older which church he wants to attend or if he even wants to go to church. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, that's a spirit of dumb right there. Hallelujah. Spirit of dumb. If they haven't experienced the presence of God, if they haven't experienced the need for Christ as a child, what makes you think they're going to decide when they become older? Do not let the culture invade sound biblical instruction. Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. You can't stir one another up if you're home at home alone. How can you stir anything up at home by yourself? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another. That means encouraging one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. The most loving and godly thing any parent can do for their child, whether they like it or not, is to take them to church regularly and teach them the value of being a Christian, of being a part of the body of Christ, a good steward of how to walk in love and in the Spirit all the days of your life. If you don't do it, the Disney Channel will, YouTube will, video games will, all those explicit lyric CDs will. All these crazy celebrities will. Do not allow the world to choose your inheritance for you. If you don't take direct involvement in your children's lives and you are not an example, they're going to come to you one day and say, I think I'm a boy. I think I'm a girl. I think today I'm a flurry. Meow. Can you buy me a litter box so I could go to the bathroom? The devil's a lie. There's a ruse of inheritance out there, a trickery of Satan, and so many people are buying it. My pronouns are they, them, and thou. And it, and because, and was. Yeah, I got some pronouns too. Demon, slayer. Fire, starter. Child of God. Those are my pronouns. Oh, I forgot one. Satan, get thee behind. Psalm 47:4, this is my verse, praise God. He, that means God, he will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves, Selah. Listen, if anybody's going to choose my inheritance, let God be the one to choose it. Listen to what the Lord told Moses in Deuteronomy 6:1-4. Now this is the commandment. Yeah, I love Charlton Heston. He's the original, the best Moses, until somebody else makes a better movie than Cecil B. DeVille. Charlton Heston is the Moses character that we're putting on in this house. Amen? Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, you better recognize. Hallelujah. Praise God. Get it together. Praise God. Nobody did it like him. Deuteronomy 6, it says, now this is the commandment and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God and to keep all his statutes and commandments which I command you and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Your respect for God's word will measure your respect for God. In closing, today's message is a call to dedication in your own home and in your own family life. It is a call for everyone in this place to return to order. Let us return to building strong Christian homes in a time where the world is coming after every one of our houses. It's time to begin to teach and train our children to do things God's way and to not allow our kids to be seduced by worldly ways. John 1:2-15, it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. Listen to 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love that the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Saints of God, you represent heaven here on earth. You are a child of God. You are an ambassador of Christ. 2 Corinthians 6:17, it says, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Listen, your family will become your home. Your altar will become your home. Your children will be your sanctuary where the Spirit of the Lord will reign. It will be an example to others, and it will outlast the very test of time that your kids actually spend inside your home. Jesus, in the Word, Acts 16:31, the Word of the Lord says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Listen, there's going to come a time, parents, where your children are going to grow up and leave you. My wife and I couldn't wait for our kids to grow up and leave. But now that they're all gone, we're the ones calling, hey, you guys gonna come over this weekend? Hey, you guys gonna come over? Hey, you guys, because we can't wait to see our kids. And then they jack up the house and then go, and we gotta take care of it, but we want it back the next week too. Hallelujah. Why? Because there's nothing more precious than family. At the end, it doesn't matter what Christmas gifts you get or receive. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is time with family, relationship with God, relationship with each other. I've been at the bed of many that were dying, hours to live, and never once did anyone ask for the keys to their car or their deed to their house or their computer or even a cell phone. They're always asking, where's mommy? Where's daddy? Where's my son? Where's my daughter? Where's my cousin? Where's my friend? Because that's what it really boils down to, relationship. It's so important, and it starts in the home. It's time for our homes to be representative of what it looks like to be a Christian home. That means when your neighbors are driving down the street, there shouldn't be plates and glass being thrown against the wall, bling, 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 and F-bombs and arguments. That shouldn't be in the house of a Christian. We should be tolerant and respectful. The fruits of the Spirit, the last one is self-control. I'm going to end with this illustration, and then we're done. It says, without righteousness being credited to the soul starves. The soul starves because it needs nutrition that it is not receiving. So many people think that just because they go to church, they are right with God. However, their soul is starving because they are not hungering after God or thirsting after righteousness, which is the very thing their soul needs. In order for the soul to flourish, it requires a person seeking after and willing to properly align themselves in accordance with the will of God. For example, if you fuel your car with diesel fuel, your gas meter might appear to be full. However, you're not going to get very far because your car requires gasoline fuel. You would be putting something into your vehicle that it was not meant or built to receive. Many of us are putting stuff into our souls that our soul is not designed to receive. And then we wonder why, if we apparently seem so full, we are not making strides forward in our spiritual life, ministry, or home. Why? It's because we've been giving our soul things which our manufacturer, God, did not require for us to have. We seek to align ourselves. We have to seek to align ourselves with the will of God and live according to His divine order, and that's going to produce righteousness and sanctuary. Anything else will cause you problems underneath your hood. The only way to have a Christian home is to fill it with Jesus. May your home be filled with Jesus, and your family, may it be filled with Jesus. God bless you, saints of the Most High God. Thank you, sister.
We are so grateful to God for allowing us the opportunity to share this message with you. Thank you for listening. We want you to know that you are all in our constant prayers. If you've been blessed by today's program, why not consider partnering with us? To make a donation is easy. You can visit us online at www.specchurch.net, or you can call us at 845-956-0133. Once again, that's www.specchurch.net or 845-956-0133. We invite you to worship with us one Sunday morning soon. Thank you again for your prayers and support. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you.